So jumping right in, last week you were appointed to the conference committee that will be negotiating the difference between the House and Senate versions of a bill that would determine how the state can access and use money from the permanent fund. Can you give us an update on what's happening in that committee?
We're really waiting on a couple of other bills to pass through before we can have negotiations. Of course, the big thing is that we know that we need a broad-based tax and oil tax and credit reform. And so until we see the shape of those, it's hard to get through the entire fiscal plan.
The legislature heard public testimony on House Bill 115, which would implement that income tax to be directed toward education funding, and then also on the Senate's proposed cuts to the University of Alaska. What are you hearing from the public when it comes to funding education, and are people willing to pay an income tax to avoid cutting it?
Well, the constituents across the state are saying yes. Unfortunately, we are finding resistance from the Senate side. And so we are, you know, in this kind of horns of dilemma. How do you go forward when you need a partner that's willing to work on those things? So that's a little frustrating, but we are going forward and going to be moving different pieces of the puzzle together to see if we can get there.
And also related to reaching a compromise, the last time we spoke, you were unsatisfied with the Senate's changes to House Bill 111, which restructures oil and gas taxes and credits. There was some agreement when it came to eliminating cash subsidies for oil and gas companies. Have the House and Senate been able to find any further common ground on that bill?
Unfortunately, the Senate Resources Committee actually, from the status quo where we are right now, their bill would cost us about $30 to $50 million more per year. In other words, we'd receive less money than we're receiving right now. And when they got rid of the cashable credits, they also gave people interest, or called uplift, for 10% for 7 years with their proposal, actually doubling the amount of deductibility. So it turns out that in 10 years, you know, we would have $600 million of deductions, and they would have $1.7 billion of deductions that oil companies would be able to take. So unfortunately, at least on that version, on all fronts, it's going backwards instead of forward. So we've got a long ways to go for agreement, but we haven't seen what the Senate Finance, it's moved to there from Resources Committee. So hopefully we'll get a different decisions from the Finance Committee.
Switching gears a little bit, the House received some national attention this week when Republican Representative David Eastman added on to a resolution that aims to raise awareness of sexual assault and child abuse. His addition calls abortion the ultimate form of child abuse. Will that bill see a vote in the House?
Well, I'm not in charge of that. It was unfortunate. As far as I'm concerned, we have enough contentious issues to worry about in the fiscal plan and getting a budget and doing other important things to mix domestic violence and sex abuse, and abortion is really problematic. So I don't have control of that, but I don't think that such a thing would advance through the House.
And there are just 12 days left in the extended legislative session, and the major work continues to be reaching a compromise on the operating budget. What is the prognosis there for that big picture, and what happens if the 12 days pass without a resolution?
You know, the governor has said that he really sees that we need a comprehensive fiscal plan such as the one that we developed. Doesn't have to be exactly the same, but has to cure the problems instead of having a structural deficit of $500 million each year. We're worried that a number of members in the other body, and in fact in our minority, actually have talked about not wanting to have any broad-based tax until there is elimination of the dividend. So we're taking steps to make sure that that couldn't happen in the future. So we will be addressing, be read across today, a constitutional amendment that would allow for a 5% of market value with 33% going to the dividend. And so that would be up for voters in a couple years. But we're worried that that is the objective of some people not wanting to do a broad-based tax, and that's the only other source of revenue that's quickly available. So anyway, we're still working forward, but we're having to revise plans, and we'll be looking at compromises.
Great. Well, good luck, and thanks so much for joining us today.
And thank you. Bye-bye.